Paul Mavrogeorge of LinkCare presented a workshop at a recent European Member Care conference in southern France. Unfortunately, we cannot see the PowerPoint presentation that went along with what Paul had to say, and we can't see the handouts or the other literature, but I think we can learn a lot just by listening. I know I have already, so let me ask you a question. What do you think of when things don't go the way you want or expect? Do you have a pity party all by yourself? When we left off last week, Paul was talking about this, so let's go back just a little and hear what he has to say.
Pity's not being sad. Pity pot is being stuck in helplessness. Okay, I found that I could work with the adolescent offender and sometimes get more breakthrough with the adolescent offender that could read only on a fourth grade reading level than the someone with a doctorate in theology, because they obviously have good reason to be feeling down on themselves and everything else around them. And again, this doesn't help them work through anything. This is reactive. This is stuck. This is me against the world. Everything's not going right. And again, when we start to hear that language from them, this is awful. It's no good. Nobody likes me. Everybody's against me. These people on my team are awful. You know, they're always doing all that. I'm the only one who does anything. When we identify that, that to me is an indicator that something's not functioning right. For me, when my potty mouth comes back, because I got saved late and I had cussing perfected to an art form before Christ came in and said I had to give up that art form. But boy, for me, if stuff's not going right and all of a sudden the F-bomb starts flying out of my mouth again, I go, whoa, wait a minute. There's something else going on here. So what I do is I have folks define for them what's their unhealthy functioning. What does their halt look like? What does their chaos look like? How do you know when things aren't going right? When things aren't going right for me is when more mornings than not, I don't get my right quiet time. And my quiet times, you know, short time with the Lord, then I do 30 minutes of cardio. I usually do a light workout. It's just some private time, just kind of for me in the morning to keep my sanity. If more mornings than not, I'm having to use it to do emails, do other stuff, do other things, that's an indicator that my life's not functioning right. When I start feeling like nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm just going to go eat worms. Okay. If I'm thinking that way, then I know, wait a minute. Something's not right. Mechanics used to call the lights on the dashboard idiot lights. That hurts people's feelings now. You can't say that. But it's that it's a warning light. And so what I do for folks is say, we need to define when are you unhealthy? Because when that comes up, again, now that's before they're acting out. I'm not functioning right. My life's not going well. If I don't do something about this, at the moment that I get triggered, I'm going to act out. So this we can start to work with. As we start to define that unhealthy functioning for them, having them understand it and know when they're in it, because this we can manage. The San Joaquin Valley during our rainy season is very nice, but during our summer, it gets really, really hot and really, really dry. And around homes that are more rural, they have to have, it's a burn perimeter of about 200 yards because they have to take out all the dry brush. Because what will happen in the fields, and I've watched it happen, someone will flick a cigarette out, the cigarette will hit the field, and the field will ignite instantaneously. If you don't have your burn area taken care of, it'll burn up your house too. That unhealthy functioning, as we begin to help them manage that, that's them taking care of their burn area. In this world, we will have trouble. Things are going to happen, but these are things that are manageable areas of their life. That's work-related, that's spiritual-related, that's family-related. It's all those areas. If they can begin to manage these, then we start to decrease the probability that they're going to act out. Now, triggers. Triggers can be people. Again, especially in the issues of things like codependency or things like that, there are some folks that people just can't say no to. Some folks will trigger a response. There are certain people that can cause us to operate in unhealthy ways. We can see sometimes those people are family members. Okay? Places. For some individuals, there are certain areas where they go into that area and it brings up a certain response. Again, in recovery circles, you want to change your people, your playgrounds, and your playthings. There are certain places or certain environments that may act as a pull. A lot of my clients that deal with sexual issues, it can be driving by the strip club. And if I drive by the strip club or if I go over there, now I begin to think about it because I know that it's close. I worked with a guy that his business required him to travel a lot. Well, one of our, I think, two strip clubs in Fresno is right by the airport. So every time he'd go to the airport, even if he didn't drive by it, he knew he was close to it. Because part of his old habit was that he would either leave early for a trip or come back late from a trip and go to the strip club. So when he gets in the proximity of the strip club, he begins to think about it. So again, it can be places for other folks. And again, I have people define these things. What are yours? What's going on? Because again, I really try to help folks be mindful. What do I need to do to be prepared? I've got mild asthma. So up here, it's not a prop. Up here, I have my inhaler. Now, I used my inhaler earlier. I figured kind of my 4-hour range, it may hit about 11:30. Sometimes I need to use it. Sometimes I don't. But I want to have it. I want to be prepared in case I need it. So again, that's why we're using this. We're defining these things in place for them, getting all these areas. What are going to be things that are going to trigger them? What's going to activate their thoughts? If it's someone who struggles with visual imagery, it may be an image on the TV. Helping them know that when it's happening and when they see it, that they are being triggered. And what I frame for them is they may be triggered, but they haven't acted out yet. I want to move them from reacting to responding. The reaction is, I see it and I do it. Response is, I'm going to work through it and give myself a moment to choose to act on this or not act on this. Stimulus, again, can be outside, again, those outside things that can be imagery, that can be the smell of alcohol for the alcoholic. If it's someone who smokes marijuana, it could be the smell of marijuana. It can be things like that, that those are triggers that are going to create some kind of a response for that person. And again, that's the pulled act out. And that's how I frame it for them. Now, what's going to go on is triggers are going to happen throughout their life. And I frame that for them. There are going to be things that are going to be happening for you day to day that are going to pull you to act out. We really can't control all those. We can't. Things are going to happen. Things will cross your path that you can't keep away. However, we can manage your life. If you're having the push to act out, which means you're not taking care of yourself and you're not doing all the right things, you're not managing your day-to-day life, and the trigger comes along, it's just about going to guarantee that you're going to engage in the behavior. So what I really help folks work on is identifying where they are. How are they functioning? Being able to say, I'm not functioning real well right now. I'm not doing real well. You know what? I need to really increase my accountability. Work's been crazy. A lot of stuff's going on. I need to do like some daily phone calls with some people to manage this during this time. So to teach them how to manage themselves, to understand what's going on inside of them so they'll know when they're getting into a danger zone. One of my son's friend's sister is diabetic and she does an amazing job managing her diabetes. She's a sixth grader. And she can start to tell when her blood sugar drops. And she knows what to do and then how to test herself and when she needs to increase her pump and how to do all those things. So it's that same format when we're working with someone who has the struggle. Helping them know how are they functioning, what are they doing, and what's going on. Getting them prepared for the triggers that are going to happen for them. The key is, what do they do next? And that's that acting out. So again, now we're walking them through. We take time. I usually try to understand their history, what's going on back there and those ongoing susceptibilities. We start to look at that, what that unhealthy functioning is, and we really define that real clearly. What's their chaos? What is their chaotic life? How do they function when they're not doing real well? Because I try to get a picture of that. So once that's defined, we can learn how to avoid those things and make changes. The triggers are going to happen, helping them know what are the things that pull them. I help them. I say, how do you feel when you get triggered? What goes on for you physically? What do you start to think about? What do you start to feel? And so they'll know when they're being triggered. What thoughts are you going to have? What's going to happen to you physically? What's going to happen emotionally? What's going to be going on inside of you when you're triggered? And again, the whole premise for me is helping them be really conscious of what's going on. So they'll know, oh, wait a minute, feeling triggered. My heart's racing. I'm feeling a real urgency to do this. Okay, this is a trigger. I've just been triggered. I know I've been triggered. Now I'm going to choose to do something here. Acting out begins with the ongoing thinking about it. And inevitably, that's where it starts. The thinking of it can become soothing. When we start to talk about all the wonderful cookies and treats that we've been given here, and all the wonderful food or all those things, we start to think about food, you can either feel hungry You know, I mean, we think of an image. For those of you who are apart from kids and family, I start to think about my kids and my family. I'll look at a picture of them. I'll have an emotional response. I'll miss them. Or I can look at a picture of them and all of a sudden feel real calm. All I'm doing is thinking, and it's creating an emotional and physical response. So acting out, sometimes the mere thinking about acting out can be soothing, because I'll get a picture in my mind of me doing that thing, and I can see my anxiety can begin to drop. So as that thinking starts, and that's where I help them say, wait, you've been triggered. Let's understand when you're thinking about it. Are your thoughts consumed? If it's that codependent person and they continue to rescue the person or to help them, they can't stop thinking about it. Their thoughts are consumed, but all of a sudden when they maybe start to get a plan or what they're going to do, they can feel a little better. And again, it's that ongoing thinking about it, planning, and strategically moving towards it. The behaviors begin to spiral out of control. Again, the thinking leads to the actions. When I work with folks with pornography, rarely are they walking down the street and they look at just go dive into a barrel of pornography. Now, could they be exposed to pornography walking down the street? Sure. I was at the Patrick Carnes training. Patrick Carnes is a big training, this big trainings in sex addiction. Spent 2 weeks with him. And I'm leaving and I'm talking about, you know, I got a crew of guys. I'm going to try to practice what I preach. And I'm on the morning phone call with my buddy and, hey, good. How you doing? Oh, good. It was a good night. Blah, 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 blah. And I sit down in the car and I'm going, oh, dude. And he's like, what? I come from California. That's how we all talk. He saw what? I'm like, there's a naked picture on my window. He's like, well, take it off. I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, dude, throw it down. I'm like, well, it's littering. He goes, throw it down. So I throw it down, shut the door. My car was the only car that had it on there. Now, that's when you start adding in a little spiritual warfare too. But that was a trigger. There was a woman naked on the window. That was a trigger, but it didn't go to acting out because held the thoughts captive, did what I needed to do. So again, we started talking. We prayed for the person who left it, prayed for the situation. Now we're not acting out, as we'll get to at the backstage. Now we're working through it. Triggers are going to happen, and the thoughts may start, but it's what do we do with those thoughts?
We still have more to learn about dealing with our thoughts and unhealthy dependencies and addictions and how this all affects cross-cultural Christian workers and their families and the people they work with. And next week, we'll pick up from where we left off today.